This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is J. Christian Adams, Pajamas Media Contributor, and he's also a former attorney with the Justice Department's Voting Rights Division. You may remember he's been a guest of ours a number of times talking about the Black Panthers case in Philadelphia back in the 2008 election, and more recently about the controversy over several states not getting out absentee ballots to military members on time. He's now with us to talk about some things that we all need to keep an eye on, regardless of our political persuasion, to make sure that this vote is a fair one. What are legal and illegal ways of conducting ourselves inside the polling places come Tuesday? And Christian, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here.
Well, this list can be found also at the website pajamasmedia.com. Several different things that happen here. Number one, the actual workers in the polling place, that's where you start on this list, basically telling voters who to vote for. Is this a subtle thing? Is this just blatant? Does it happen routinely? Explain.
Oh, it happens all the time. It's happening right now across the country. It's happening very specifically in Houston, Texas, where voters are going in and being asked, do you want to vote a straight Democratic Party ticket? We have written reports of this happening dozens upon dozens upon dozens of times, and it probably is why Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee is so angry about the fact that there's citizen poll watchers recording this and has asked the Justice Department to investigate them. But it happened in Mississippi. I proved it in federal court that there were teams of assisters who used to drag people to the booth and tell them exactly who to vote for, to punch the buttons for them. It goes on all over the country. It has a long history in this country. It's really the essence of machine politics.
And in terms of where this happens, does it happen in predominantly Democratic precincts? Does it happen across the board? What's been your experience?
You don't have a highly educated, upstanding citizens willing and tolerant of people telling them how to vote. This is, by and large, in areas of the country where people just obviously don't care enough about exercising their own will, that don't care about the illegality of the action. And so you tend to see it in areas where there's lower income and lower education.
The next item you have here in your list is called mass illegal assistance, where basically one person brings in a bunch of people, but the one person ends up actually voting. How does this work?
Well, they impose their assistance on voters. They say, look, just tell them you need my help. And there's provisions of the Voting Rights Act that actually allow that if the voter's disabled. And the person goes to the polls with the voter, and the assister touches all the buttons. So, you know, it's sort of like the last one when the poll election official says, do you want to vote a straight Democratic ticket? This is actually private parties doing it.
Then the next, of course, is the one most people would be familiar with, and that's the phony voter trying to pass himself off as someone they're not and perhaps voting multiple times depending on what their strategy might be. You have an example in here of the election workers actually knowing that this person was not who they said they were, yet they gave him a ballot anyway. How does most of this work?
Well, it doesn't work in states that have voter ID requirements. And I think that's one of the reasons that some people are so against voter ID requirements, because it messes this voter fraud option up. But it works this way. If you don't have to show voter ID and you know that old Ethel Hazelhurst down the street died a couple of months ago, you just go into the polls and say that you're Ethel Hazelhurst, and you get a ballot. And you don't have to prove that you're Ethel Hazelhurst. You just take the ballot and you vote it.
Hmm. Another one you have on here is absentee ballot signature mismatches. And we just had John Fund, who's studied stolen elections quite carefully over the last few years. And he says this is perhaps the greatest area of fraud that exists out there between the U.S. mail system and just how the absentee ballot system is kind of rife with opportunities for fraud. How big of a problem is this?
Well, John Fund's absolutely right. This is the single greatest area of fraud in the country. I've litigated in federal court a case where absentee ballots were being voted by the people collecting them, by a notary who would run around and follow the postman. She would know exactly when the absentee ballots were mailed, so she'd follow the mail truck, and she'd snatch the ballots out of people's mailboxes and either vote them straight herself or or take them to the voter and say, here, fill this form out. This is going to let you vote. And then she votes the ballot and licks the envelope. The way you get around that is by checking the signatures to make sure they're valid signatures. Now, that's easier said than done, but some states have that ability to do that.
And then the last one on here that we have time to get to is cash for votes. And you point out it's sometimes not cash. We've heard stories just in the past few days of free food and some other things. That might not even take place at the voting booth. So how do you determine whether or not that's happening?
Well, it's one of the most difficult things to determine. There's two ways you can tell. Number one, as I write in the article, Pajamas Media, if you see a woman walking around the polls with a wad of cash that she stuffs in her bra, as I have, something's up. That's the first way. But the second way is that this stuff spreads by word of mouth. That's how the case got busted in southwestern Virginia, where they were buying votes with pork rinds, with Junior Johnson's pork rind snacks, where word of mouth spread that you could get pork rinds if you voted for the sheriff. These operations are not successful unless you have lots of customers. So the way you get customers is spread it by word of mouth, but sometimes that leaks back to law enforcement.
Last 90 seconds or so here, Christian, now that we've kind of gone through several of these issues, what can people do if they're not an actual poll worker, if they're just in line, they're only in there for a few minutes? What do you do if you see something that looks really fishy?
Well, the first thing they can do is go vote on Tuesday, because if enough law-abiding citizens overwhelm the system, then the law-breaking citizens will be a fewer percentage, a smaller percentage. That's the first thing they can do is vote. Secondly, they could serve as a poll watcher or an election official. If you care enough about the process, take a day off and go work in the polls to run the election. Law-abiding citizens need to step up and take charge of this system. Number three, they can be observant. If they see any of the things I described at Pajamas Media, we'll call law enforcement authorities. If it's not the election officials doing the behavior, tell the election officials. Say, look, this guy's over there telling people how to vote. If it is the election officials actually engaged in the fraud, which does happen, then they need to call the police or they need to call the election official for the county that's running the election and report the behavior.
Once again, you can find all these tips at pajamasmedia.com. The article is Voter Fraud Watch, a primer on what to watch for. Christian, thank you as always for being with us.
Okay, take care.
Christian Adams is a veteran of the Justice Department's Voting Rights Division. He's now a contributor to Pajamas Media. Again, his article is at pajamasmedia.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.